There we go. There are 5 stanzas in the hymn before the sermon at the 8 o'clock service, so. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In Luke 14, Jesus is confronting one of the dilemmas of human nature. Paul hits this one on the head when he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. With a clear head, take a look at yourself. What are you trying to prove? Who are you trying to kid? When you exalt yourself, look to be humbled. We see Jesus sitting here with a group of Pharisees who have fallen into the trap of self-delusion that we often kid ourselves with as well. They were poorly lacking in humility, which is what Jesus points out, especially in this section and the rest of chapter 14, if you read a little further. These Pharisees are filled with self-importance, or were at least trying to become more important than they currently thought they already were. And Jesus was part of their plot on this day to become more important. We need to get some background into this culture to understand that sentiment. The first century world was obsessed with honor and status in society. Now, that's not all that different from us, but it was played out in some important ways for us to understand the context of Jesus at this banquet. At this time, if you wanted to be elevated in your social status, it would revolve around who you could invite to your house and who would accept that invitation to your place to come to your party, and then whose house you could get invited to, so that when the social gatherings take place, you could be seen with these other people, that you rub shoulders with the elite, that you could be seen as somebody. And if you knew the right people, if you could get in with them, you could climb the social ladder and then have more influence in your community, and you would be seen as more powerful. The better seat that you got at all the right parties, the higher the social status that you could achieve. And I think the place that I have experienced this the most in my life is the cafeteria in high school. Maybe you, because I don't look to go to parties, but man, that cafeteria was the place where you knew where everybody was because of where they sat. And I sat with my little group of friends, and we had, we were too high, we were too low on the social ladder. I don't really know. But I knew I wasn't at the highest place, and here's an example of how I knew that. I wasn't the most popular kid, but I had some bold aspirations, and there was one at this table. I sat about 2 tables away from this group of girls that were a little more popular, and all of them, I think at that point, were single, and I thought, I'm going to go sit over there, because that looks like a good spot to, you know, just kind of work my way in, make some friends, you know, who knows what could happen. So I went over there and sat down. I said, hey, how's it going? They kind of look at me. I'm like, what are you doing here? They started talking to each other, but not to me at all. Like, I wasn't even there in this conversation. And I think I just kind of sat and listened and nodded for a while. Maybe I might have thrown something in. No acknowledgement of my existence. And I think I then said, okay, see you later. Got up, got back to my group of friends, and they made fun of me. So, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, Jesus says. It's important to ask the question, as we're looking at this story with Jesus then, as Jesus fits into this narrative, as Jesus is sitting in this party, Why is he at this party? Why do the Pharisees invite him? Is it because they want to be seen with Jesus and so that they can be more popular, that they can achieve a social status that's a little higher? Actually, no, not at this point in Jesus' ministry. That was a little earlier. People were coming to see Jesus. They wanted to be around him. Jesus was pretty exciting. He was performing miracles. He was teaching. He was gathering large crowds. People wanted to be around Jesus. But at this point, the Pharisees know who Jesus is. They know he doesn't fit into their camp. He doesn't fit into their way of thinking. He's an outsider from them, but they invite Jesus to trap him. And it's abundantly clear that that's the case because they also invite this man with dropsy. We call it edema today. And he would have been one of those unclean people that you especially wouldn't want at your meal that you're having on the Sabbath because that makes you unclean. And so why would they invite this man in? But this man is here and Jesus is here so that they can set up this trap to trap Jesus on the Sabbath. They're looking for social status, not by who they can invite at this point. They're hoping to send someone else down the social ladder. They're trying to put Jesus out of favor and humiliate him in front of others because of the way that he reacts to this other man. And more importantly, they want to be the ones who were there when it happened, to be the ones of whom it was said they took down Jesus. The Pharisees prided themselves on being expert interpreters of God's law, especially of the Sabbath, and it's important to know that this is a Sabbath. This meal is happening on the Sabbath, and so they know that, well, they know God's law on the Sabbath, but they also, as the Pharisees, have placed other laws that go along with the Sabbath to help themselves, to help everyone else, try to make sure that they strictly observe the Sabbath in the right way to make God happy with them. And these aren't things that God has said, but they're things that they've put in place, they've added to God's law, and Jesus knows what God's word is and what God's law is, and also how they've added to the Sabbath. So what does Jesus do on the Sabbath? Jesus regularly goes to church. It was the synagogue back then. Jesus would go to the synagogue, as was his custom. We see this in Luke 4. He would weekly go and teach in the synagogue and gather with the people there and worship God there. But then he would also regularly, as we see on different Sabbath days, engage in the community of the body of God's people. He would have these times of fellowship and meal with others, a part of that Sabbath rest that people participated in. And so here he is now faithfully at this party resting on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees aren't resting. They're plotting. They're trying to trap Jesus into doing something that is not against God's law, but against their laws that they have set in place on the Sabbath. And so knowing that they're trying to trap him, Jesus takes this opportunity to point out some of the misconceptions that the Pharisees have about the Sabbath. Because he reminds them through his actions that the Sabbath is, of course, for rest and it's for worship, but it's also for re-experiencing the saving acts of God. Re-experiencing the saving acts of God in community and living in the love of God in community as well. And Jesus there is standing face to face with a man who has a physical ailment, and the Pharisees would say, you can't heal on the Sabbath because that's work. But Jesus says, the Sabbath isn't for that purpose so that you don't work. It's so that you are in God's presence. And in that presence of God and worshiping him, we also have the opportunity to serve and love in his name. That's also glorifying God on the Sabbath. The Pharisees don't get this. Jesus does, and he heals this man, and they can't answer his questions. They can't respond to him. because they've missed it. They've missed the understanding of what the Sabbath is about. Worship and rest, but also re-experiencing the saving work of God. And Jesus brings that salvation to this man through healing and restoration in that moment, at that party, at this banquet. Jesus stands before these Pharisees in defiance because Jesus isn't worried about status. He's not worried about prestige. He's not worried about how he can be socially accepted with other people. He has come to focus on matters much greater than that, matters of life and death, which is what this man was facing. And what the Pharisees need to open their eyes to if they're going to understand and get who Jesus is and what he's doing too. He's come to rescue and restore, and at this meal he challenges the social world of the Pharisees and invites them to see a different way. To see God's redemption and where he gathers and calls all people to his table. Because the Pharisees are worried about where they can sit when they get to a banquet so that they can climb that social ladder. And Jesus suggests that humility is the way to go. Because when you come humble, you can only be exalted. But when you come thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, then pride comes before the fall. Of course, first, Jesus is suggesting humility is so that you don't think higher of yourself, but he's also pointing out these Pharisees and their actual low estate that they have blinded themselves from. The Pharisees are worried about who they can invite so that they can be invited back, because that reciprocal relationship is how you then continue to get more status. But Jesus challenges those norms too, and he suggests a different way. He says, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame and the blind, invite the people who are on the fringes of society, and welcome them to your table. Of course, no one would do this at this time for status or popularity, because the people that Jesus is mentioning here, they can't pay you back with a reciprocal invitation. If you invite them to your party, well, then there's no more parties, because then you have just eliminated yourself and cut yourself off from continuing to climb. And that's Jesus's point. You've entered into a moment where you can't be repaid because you've shown mercy. And he points out that really, there is one way that you can be repaid, and it is the ultimate way. It's the way the Father repays you at the resurrection. And that's the way that he shows mercy and welcomes into his presence. Jesus wants us to see whose table are we sitting at and who are we sitting at that table with. And I'm not talking about your Labor Day barbecue, because you can look at these words of Jesus and say, oh man, I really messed it up. I only invited my friends and my family to the Labor Day barbecue, and I didn't invite the lame and the crippled and the blind and those people on the outcasts of society. Which is good for us to think about, but that's not Jesus' full application here. Because in this section from Luke 14, it starts to make sense when we stop distinguishing like the Pharisees do between those who are higher and those who are lower. If we think that the Pharisees are better than this man with edema, then we fall into their trap too. But Jesus is pointing out, this is the state of all of us. We're all blind and poor and crippled and lame. We may not have the same social class in society, each of us, but we are all of the same status. We all are humbled as we come before Jesus. It helps when we place ourselves beside everyone else, noticing that we're all the same. We're the people who need that reminder. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Which is why Jesus is the one who is the one we should listen to when there's an invitation to come to the banquet. And we come here. We come to this banquet. We come before this table. There are no seats of honor. There are only seats at Jesus' table. We're all equal here. And so when we come to take a seat, we know that we don't deserve this one. But we've humbly been exalted to receive it. We don't come because we can reciprocate the offer. God knows that we cannot. He welcomes us because we're the people in need of him. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. We're the burdened. We're the sick. We're the sinful, the guilty. We are the humble. And we come to this banquet because Jesus invites us to his table. He's the one who gives that perfect invitation to all who need that calling to himself. He's the humble one. He's the humble one who humbled himself to the point of death on a cross for our sins. He's also the exalted one who was raised from the dead. He is the one who is the host of the table, and he gives out the invitation to all, where he delivers the gifts of his cross to all. Jesus is the one who invites you and me to help us realize our humility. Help us realize where we really stand and how much we need that invitation, how much we need to be welcomed into his presence. And then as we come, he exalts us to sit at the places of highest honor. He places us next to himself in his kingdom. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing in response.